Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and I am flying solo today. Father McKay has had the week off. He got an opportunity to head down to the shore. Those that listen from our Grace Ferry neighborhood, if you were down in Wildwood this weekend, he offered Mass for the first time ever in a bar, Keenan's Bar there in Wildwood, for some 400 people, part of the Irish weekend. So Father's getting a much-deserved few days off. And speaking of being off, I'm sorry we weren't here last week, but good to be back. Patrick had the week off last week. He also had an opportunity to get to the shore and get some good R&R in. So welcome back, Patrick, and thanks for all you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners. Thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. I ask you to just continue to do what you can to support us. And we'll talk about the golf outing in just a second, one of the great ways that you can help us out. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else that comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. Father and I are also available to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. I got just a couple of announcements here. The first and most important is the golf outing. It's less than 2 weeks away, folks. If you're not registered, please sign up as soon as possible. I was talking to Maureen right before we went on the air, and we have about 70 people registered for golf. We have a shotgun start, which means foursome starts on each hole. There's 18 holes times four is 72. So two more would be ideal, but if you're not registered yet and we're planning to, please do so sooner rather than later. Also, I think we could still use gifts if you want to submit them for a silent auction, whether you got a place at the shore, a place at the mountains, wherever, that you'd be willing to offer up for a weekend or a week in order to allow us to auction it off. That'd be great, but anything you can and will do for us is greatly appreciated. You can get all the information about the outing on our website at inhissign.com. Scroll to the bottom of the homepage and click on the link to download the brochure. It also includes opportunities for sponsorship, but I know Maureen's getting antsy to get that booklet printed, so if we're planning to do a sponsorship, please get that to her at ASAP as well. Otherwise, we'll be happy to take your money. You just won't end up in the book. Also, our Matt Talbot Shrine in St. Gabriel Church at 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays following the daily Mass at 8:30 until about 6 o'clock. Come on down and visit the shrine, visit Matt, pray for all those that struggle with addiction, those in recovery, the family members. When you didn't think it was going to get any worse, folks, it's gotten worse. We were just hanging out on the corner last night after our Calyx meeting talking about an article I had read yesterday in the New York Post about the new drug that's out there now called Tranq, T-R-A-N-Q. And it's basically a horse tranquilizer. We were kind of laughing, you know, back in the day when I was a kid, it was PCP, was the horse tranquilizer. Well, this thing that folks are getting their hands on knocks them out for a few hours, and then they gotta use again in order to get back to where they were. But in the meantime, it's also a flesh eating situation where they'll be walking around with open wounds. And so if you looked at any of the YouTube videos of Kensington and you see these folks that are just like kind of hunched over, rocking back and forth, trying to maintain their balance, that's probably what they're using. And you know, once they come to and they have these wounds and what have you, it's not a good situation. So please pray for all those that struggle with addiction. All those that need to get into recovery, get to rehab, wherever it is that God's going to lead them in order to overcome it. Because it's a scourge. It is a scourge. So, why don't we begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Matt, being a patron of the show. Lord, in your servant, Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. We'll also invoke the saints, Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Monica, pray for us. St. Maximilian Kolbe and St. Mark G, pray for us. St. John of God and St. Camillus de Lillis, pray for us. St. Francis and St. Clair, pray for us. The Holy Archangels, St. Michael, St. Raphael, and St. Gabriel, pray for us. And all the saints and angels, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If my voice is a little off, I've got a little bit of a cold going. Actually, in the earphones, it actually sounds better than normal, believe it or not, at least to me. But this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversations. The number's 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us toll-free, 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. So, here's the deal. I'm here by myself today, so unless you want to listen to me ramble for the next 53 minutes, you should probably pick up the phone and call in. We're going to, especially at the bottom of the hour, when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, where if God's touched you in a particular way, where you know it was God and not a coincidence, give us a ring as we go to the break, and when we come back, we'll take those calls. We are going to talk about a couple of saints in this, the 26th week of Ordinary Time. Yesterday, the 27th, was St. Vincent de Paul. Tomorrow, the 29th, the Archangels, Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. On Friday, the 30th, St. Jerome. On Saturday, the 1st, St. Therese of Lisieux. And on Sunday, the 2nd, the Guardian Angels. So, I'm going to kick it off with St. Vincent de Paul, and Patrick, who's here with us, and I, and a couple other folks from Grace Furry. We went up to the Miraculous Metal Shrine there in Germantown on Monday for the Novena Mass at 12:05, and they moved up the St. Vincent de Paul Mass from Tuesday to Monday. Monday's the big day at the shrine, obviously. It's when they have three or four masses during the day and what have you. So because of the larger crowds, it gives them an opportunity to talk about their founder, St. Vincent de Paul, founder of the Vincentians. And the priest that spoke, the Vincentian that gave the homily, went on for a while and talked an awful lot about what the Vincentians were up to, especially the missionary work that they're doing around the world, in particular in Papua New Guinea. But the bottom line is for these Vincentians is to work with the poor. And so St. Vincent de Paul, he was born in the year 1580, and he had become a priest, and then during a deathbed confession of a dying servant, it really opened Vincent's eyes to the spiritual needs of the poor in France. And so, as a result of that, he would spend the rest of his life trying to help the poor. The Countess of de Gondi, Countess de Gondi, whose servant he had helped, persuaded her husband to endow and support a group of able and zealous missionaries who would work among the poor, tenant farmers, and country people in general. Vincent was too humble to accept leadership at first, but, you know, God always gets his way, so we can resist and resist and resist, but sooner or later, God will get his way. And so he became the founder of the Congregation of the Mission, or the Vincentians. These priests with the vows of poverty, chastity, obedience, and stability were to devote themselves entirely to the people in the smaller towns and villages. And we're really blessed here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia to have the Vincentians among us. They've been at the Miraculous Metal Shrine on Chelton Avenue in Germantown. It seems like forever. And I was telling the gang in the car on the way back to Grace Ferry how, you know, my mom was a teenager. She grew up in Chestnut Hill. She wasn't a hiller. She was one of the working class folks in Chestnut Hill. Went to Little Flower High School, and she had met my father on the trolley. He going to North Catholic, and I was kind of laughing because they started dating in high school. My father was a senior, my mother was a freshman, and my mother would take the trolley from Chestnut Hill down Germantown Avenue to Chelton in Germantown, and then walk up a couple blocks to the shrine. And my father actually lived right across the street at Chelton and Musgrave. And so, what parent's going to refuse to let their daughter go out on a Monday night if she says she's going to Novena, right? So I suspect that back in the day there were an awful lot of teenagers that may have done that. They go to the Novena, but I'm sure they had some time to themselves afterwards. Vincent would establish confraternities of charity for spiritual and physical relief of the poor and sick of each parish. And this is where we see our St. Vincent de Paul societies today, often in each parish. Last night at our Calyx meeting, gentleman John was talking about his involvement with St. Vincent de Paul a few years back. We were talking about the poor and the opportunities that God gives us in our daily lives in order to interact and help out, you know, those that are less fortunate than we are. And he worked with St. Vincent de Paul in his parish. I was never a member of the St. Vincent de Paul Society at St. Luke's in Glenside, but I have a couple of good friends that are. And, the work that they do is important. The poor boxes that you may have in church, the proceeds from them is often given to the St. Vincent de Paul Society to help out the poor in your parish. You may not even know that you have poor folks in your parish. But they may call, and whether it's temporary help, long-term help, you know, whatever it is that they need. Oftentimes the pastor may get a call pleading for help, and he can delegate that to the St. Vincent de Paul Society, either of his own parish or a nearby parish if that particular parish doesn't have one. Unfortunately, what's come of late, and I learned about this a few years back, was that people that find out about St. Vincent de Paul Societies realize that, hey, this is a resource I might be able to tap into. I can shop around parish to parish and hit them all up for a couple bucks. And so the societies at each parish have gotten pretty good at keeping in touch with one another and making sure that they're not being duped, that people are getting the help that they need, but not more than they need. Unfortunately, that's, what happens when you get a good thing going. But the work that they do, the people that they help, when I was taking communion to the homebound back in the late 90s, there were a number of people there that would, talk about the help that they would need, whether it was to pay rent 1 month, help out with the electric bill or what have you, and to be able to have a group that you could turn to, excuse me, not have to figure it out by myself, and allow them to step in and help was really beneficial, not only to me but to the folks that actually eventually received the help. So they're out there. If your parish doesn't have one, there may be a parish nearby. If you've never been to the Miraculous Metal Shrine, I strongly urge that you pay to visit, especially if you're here in the tri-state area, southeastern Pennsylvania, South Jersey, Delaware, even Northern Maryland. It's not that far to go, and really is an impressive sight. They announced Monday when we were there that they were going to resume exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in the crypt there. It wasn't open when we were there on Monday, but down where a number of the Vincentian priests are buried or interred, they have an adoration chapel there. And I remember first going there years ago, early 90s, maybe mid-90s, 94, 95, after going on retreat. And Paul, my buddy Wayne, the three of us, the three beads, we would head down to the Miraculous Metal Shrine on Mondays, usually for the either late afternoon or early evening novena. And, yeah, just what a huge impact it would make. We had a routine where we'd spend some time in adoration. We would go to the novena. We may or may not go to confession on any given week, but was really an instrumental part of not only my recovery, but my spiritual life. And forever grateful for that opportunity. And I'll be honest, I'm not sure who came up with it. It may have been Wayne. Paul grew up in South Jersey, in Atlantic City. But I suspect that Wayne was probably the one that brought it up and may have gone there or knew of it and suggested it. And then as soon as I told my mother about going, it was when I heard the stories about, you know, going there on Monday nights on a date with my father and what have you. So get down there on Mondays. They got a pretty good website. They used to have the masses and then novenas. It was either every hour or every other hour, and I think that has since changed. But definitely have a 12:05 mass and a 6:30 mass in the evening, and an earlier mass on Mondays. So, you know, go check it out, you know, it especially if you have a devotion to the Blessed Mother, which we all should have, especially in this day and age, in these crazy times with everything that's going on. You know, I mentioned last night in our Calyx meeting, you know, if we don't get to heaven, we don't have anybody to blame but ourselves. You know, we have 2,000 years of Catholic tradition. We have Scripture. We have everything that the Church offers us with Mass and the sacraments. And the Blessed Mother and all that she's done, and, you know, repeatedly coming in apparitions and warning us that, you know, it's time to repent, it's time to change, it's time to grow closer to her Son. And you just watch some of the things that are going on in this crazy world of ours. I follow Daniel O'Connor on Twitter, a guy I've had on the 5 o'clock show two or three times over the last year or so. And you know, he put up a meme, if you will, or a picture, and it's got, you know, on one side the Hurricane Ian that's coming, and then right next to it is the Cuba had passed same-sex marriage laws yesterday or the day before. You know, and it's like, is that odd or is that God? You know, that the more I watch what's going on, you know, is it a chastisement? I don't know that Jesus or the Blessed Mother or anybody appeared to anybody in the last week or two and said that directly that this was a chastisement. But, you know, God can allow it to happen or not allow it to happen. You know, it's they talk about climate change and those types of things, and we're not going to get into all the politics of it, but the climate's been changing for millions of years, even before humans were on this planet. And I firmly believe that God's got control of the climate, and that if he wants to allow a hurricane to spin its way up and do some damage, he can allow it to happen. He can also stop it if he cares to. So I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, earlier in the week we see the passage of the law in Cuba, and here comes the hurricane. In the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to have Peter DePalma on with Mother Gabriel Marie, all the way from Italy. She'll be calling Peter, and then the two of them will call in together. And in reading the Book of Heaven that Jesus dictated to Louisa Picaretta in there, Jesus talks a lot about allowing the cholera epidemics and other things that happened in Italy around the time. And that was just over divorce law. I hadn't realized that divorce was illegal in Italy up until the 1950s, I think. And as they were threatening to pass laws, Jesus would allow these scourges to happen. So there's definitely a spiritual warfare that's going on these days. You know, it's not just what we see being played out on the news at night. Regardless of what news station you watch, it's not just, you know, the human interactions that are going on these days. It's not just Democrats and Republicans. There's a deeper battle going on here. And, you know, I've mentioned to a few people that I really think it's getting close to that time where we're going to need to choose sides. My buddy EJ responded to a Facebook post that I had out there. You know, it's no more time for lukewarm. It's you're either hot or cold. If you're going to be lukewarm, as Jesus said, they'll spit you out. And it's a shame that this is what it's come to. But we need to pray more than we ever prayed. We need to get the Mass every day if we can. If you're praying one rosary, double it up and make two. If you're praying two, make it four. We need to be praying and doing anything and everything we can in order to bring about the change that not only we want, but that Christ wants. He doesn't want this to be going on the way it is right now. With that, I'm going to go ahead and take a call. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Ken. How are you?
All right, brother. How are you?
You're doing pretty well. I heard you were going solo today, so I thought I'd call in early.
Ah, there you go. Give me a break.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, you were talking about, you know, everybody's watching the TV and Odd But God with the Hurricane Ian. And I'm just thinking, you know, we got to really pray for our AA and Kayla's friends down there in Florida because, you know, it's not a fun time right now. And I think back, you know, us alcoholics, you know, 15 years ago, what an excuse to go get drunk and go, you know, the world is coming to an end. I'm going to the bar, you know, or I'm going to go load up the house with booze. And Odd But God, now I'm going to church to pray for Florida, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. Crazy.
How about that? I got a sister that's in Sanford, just north of Orlando. So she's going to probably be right in the thick of it. And she sent me a text jokingly yesterday saying that she was over at Target doing the shopping for the hurricane. She spent most of her time in the beer and Halloween candy aisles.
Look, I got a really good friend up in Massachusetts. He's a Floridian resident, and he does, you know, 5 months in Massachusetts for the summer, and then he goes down to Florida. And he's going to get whacked. He's right there in the Tampa area. And what he did at least 15 years ago, he got himself a deal, you know, in a mobile home area. It was only $25,000. That's it. That's all. And so he said, look, $25,000, I'm not getting insurance. I'm not getting anything. And for 25 years, you know, he's milked it. He and his wife, go down there. Their condo fee was rough, but the bottom line is, you know, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. It's going to be gone. And so I was just talking to my sister, and he had him over for dinner the other night, and you know, he's going out to buy a winter coat. He's not going to Florida. You know, I mean, people don't realize.
Yeah.
Everybody goes down south. There's nothing to go home to. You know. It's something. It's
yeah.
Gonna be this is a doozy. But
yeah, my father's a little bit south of where it was supposed to hit. I think it was supposed to hit between Fort Myers and Sarasota on the west coast. And he's not in a
mobile home, is he?
No. But a little bit further south from where it was going to hit.
Anyway, it's we really got to pray for all the people we know down there.
Amen.
And think about it because. They're going to need some help.
Very good. Are you on your way to St. Matthews in Wilmington?
Yeah, I'm in traffic right now, bumping a bumper on 95. And
okay.
I call a couple of guys to tell them you'll call in, but, you know, they don't listen to me.
Yeah. No problem. We'll work it out. I appreciate the call, though, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you sound good. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye now. Good friend Tom D on his way to the Calyx meeting at St. Matthews there in Wilmington, Delaware. They'll have Mass at 6 o'clock tonight, followed by their Calyx meeting. That's every Wednesday down there in the Diocese of Wilmington. So we have been talking about St. Vincent de Paul and his work with the poor. And, you know, the other thing that that Jesus Christ told us is that, you know, the poor will always be among us. And it was interesting last night because of the folks that come to Calyx. You know, a lot of us were poor at one point. And so we've hopefully gone from needing the support to being able to give the support. And what a gift that is. And I think that happens more often than not in a lot of people's lives. There aren't a whole lot of people that escape life without tragedy or needing help. And so the idea that, you know, at one time you may be the one that needs the support, and then at other times you're the one that's able to give the support. And that's only because of our God and Him giving us the ability to, you know, give that support, to be there for folks. He puts folks in our path when they need to be in our path, whether it's for them to help us or for us to help them. So we need to keep our eyes open and be aware at any given moment that the person that's right in front of us is probably the person that God has put there. I'll go ahead and grab Bob here before we go to the break. Hello, Bob. Bob. I'm not sure what happened to Bob. All right, we'll put him back on hold, and maybe we can bring him back after the break. But anyway, we have an opportunity to help the poor whenever. Is he on there? Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob.
I came outside to try to make my phone.
Yeah, now there you go. Now I got you.
Son of a gun.
Hey, Bob, I got you.
Yes.
How you doing, pal?
Very good. Good. It's funny because when you guys used to talk about, you know, like the devil, I thought you guys were talking like Twilight Zone spirituality. I go, okay, I'll be nice. I won't say anything. If these guys think that, you know, they actually have an interaction with the devil, I'll just be quiet. But I'll say, the devil shut my computer off. He wouldn't let me get through on the phone.
So what's going on?
Believer.
Yeah.
Well, I'm down the shore. You know, I got to spend time with Patrick and Ronnie. We had a great time, you know. Patrick's cousin played at the Irish Festival, and it was an autograph just to have the mass at Keenan's Bar, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they told me it's actually a parish church. It's Our Lady of Keenan. But Father Doug was great. It was just so unusual that you're talking about the ministry, about, you know, addiction, and you're in a bar, you know. But you could see that everybody in the crowd was affected by addiction somewhere in their family or in their experience. And like Patrick said, it was only the second time he's ever experienced in his life, and both times involved Father Doug. After the sermon, there was almost a standing ovation. There was a round of applause, big applause after the sermon. You never get that, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, even during the collection, you could see the people were happy, you know? And it was an amazing collection, you know? But, you know, to talk about a little bit about St. Vincent de Paul, my daughter went to St. John's University. That's a Vincentian,
sure.
Vincentian priest, you know?
Yep.
But what gets me is they do so much good, but... I don't know what it is with us Catholics is like we're embarrassed to accept the help, you know, like in the Catholic, in the Protestant churches, they have committees, you know, like if you need tires for your car, you know, so you can get to work, you just tell them, you know, and they're not shy about it. You know, it's like we have the thing where people say, well, I don't want to accept charity. Well, the other word for charity is love. You don't want to accept love.
Right.
I was down in Florida, a very rich church outside the villages.
Mm-hmm.
Their assessment for the House of Charity was $525,000. But these people are very generous because they had a St. Vincent de Paul Society, and when I was there, they were expanding it so that they could do more. You know, so it's nice to see generous rich people.
Yeah, yeah.
So
very good.
But, I'm gonna let you go. I heard Tom, and I'm surprised. I got to find out what part of Massachusetts his friend goes to, because I never experienced 5 months of summer in Massachusetts. And I was surprised to hear Tom say he had a good friend. Wow.
Yeah. Imagine that. Well, we'll be heck to pay for that next week. All right, Bob. Good to hear from you, pal.
All right. Good to hear from you. Take care.
You too. God bless. Bye-bye. And that brings us to the bottom of the hour. So we're going to go ahead and take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Mike Balmazy of Villa Joseph Marie High School. I've been a listener to Kathleen McCarthy and her radio station and his sign ministry for years. And I can never say enough good things about Kathleen. Her insightfulness, her dedication to the church, her love of the Holy Spirit, and the beautiful way she expresses herself as a daughter of the church and as a daughter of Mary deserves to be listened to, deserves to be praised. And I can't encourage you more than to do what you can for New Side Ministry. God bless.
Have you ever heard of seed faith, the biblical law of sowing and reaping? Many people fail when it comes to faith for finances because they haven't planted any seed. Any farmer knows that if you want a good crop, you have to first sow the seed. The Bible speaks about seed right from the beginning in Genesis, and it's brought up all throughout the scriptures. In the second book of Corinthians, we are told that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Why not consider sowing your financial seed into In His Sign Catholic Radio, a ministry with a 30-year history? You should sow your financial seed into a ministry that produces good fruit. Luke tells us at chapter 6, verse 44, every tree is known by its fruit. You should sow your financial seeds where you're fed, be it here, your local parish, or other worthy ministries. Please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston. I want to, again, praise and thank God for all our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Encourage you to go out and check out our website at inhissign.com. If you click on content and then podcasts, you can listen to any shows that you may have missed. I try to get them updated each Thursday for the prior week. So, again, if you miss a show and want to listen, inhissign.com, click on content, and then podcasts. We also like to keep you up to date on the Calyx Society, a great organization for Catholics and 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I get together with a sizable group every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. We meet in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Streets, where we begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period, followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of each month, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church for our Matt Talbot Healing Mass and Benediction. It also starts at 6 o'clock, but we are over in St. Gabriel's Church. So for October, that'll be Tuesday, October the 18th. The Glenside Unit meets at St. Luke's on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. The October meeting for Glenside will be October the 15th. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown. They get together on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, October the 6th. The unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield, they meet on the last Saturday of the month with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. They just had their meeting this past Saturday, so they'll get together at the end of October on the 29th. And we resurrected an old unit at the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary in Media. They meet on the second Saturday of the month and 10 to 5 o'clock Vigil Mass and then a Calyx meeting to follow. Father McKay has volunteered to offer that Mass each month out there and then participate with the Calyx group. So their next meeting will be on Saturday, October the 8th. And a reminder, 5 o'clock, I'm going to be joined by Peter DePalma, and this month he's bringing with him Mother Gabriel Marie from all the way from Italy. She was Sister Angelica's second-in-command before leaving to form the Sisters of the Divine Will. And it's such a joy-filled woman. It should be a great show, so you want to stick around at 5 o'clock. Now, time for our Is That Odd or Is That God? And got one caller on the line. Hello, Jason.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good. Sorry, I want to apologize. I wasn't able to listen because I've been running around like crazy, you know.
I can only imagine.
But I got home. I just wanted to call. I don't know if Patrick told you. They're going to, tomorrow morning, 8:30, they're going to perform the C-section, and Trinity Elizabeth Barrett will be brought into the world.
Amen.
Follow that up with an honor God, tomorrow is also my parents' 49th wedding anniversary.
Wow, how about that? That's a nice present, nice gift to give them, another grandchild.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, it's just it's funny how it works out, you know.
Yeah. So for those that are listening, the caller is Jason, and he and his girlfriend Melanie. Melanie's almost 8 months pregnant, and had an episode last week where her lungs filled with fluid. They have her in a medically induced coma, and I guess the Trinity's far enough along now to be able to come out of her mother's womb and survive. So they're going to do the C-section tomorrow morning by allowing the baby to be born. It'll relieve her of some of the bodily difficulties she may be having and hopefully help her to heal up sooner rather than later. So I just ask all of our prayer warriors to keep Jason, Melanie, Trinity. Did you say Trinity Elizabeth?
Yes.
Yeah. Trinity Elizabeth in your prayers. She'll be coming out in the world tomorrow, September the 29th, around 8:30 in the morning. And really keep Melanie in your prayers that the docs can figure out what's going on and get her healed up sooner rather than later.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. The Elizabeth is actually thanks to Patrick because he was Googling saints' names. We were debating on a middle name. and he was Googling Saints names and different things. And I think Elizabeth was the patron saint of the Trinity.
Okay, yeah.
So once he found that out, it was like, well, there's the middle name.
Amen. Amen. Good deal. All right, Jason, hang in there, pal. If you need anything going forward, you know how to reach us, and I'm sure Patrick can let us know as well. You'll be in our prayers, especially tomorrow morning. And looking forward to
it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I look forward to meeting Trinity Elizabeth real soon.
I definitely will.
All right, brother. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye. Yeah, you never sure how God operates or why he allows things to happen the way they do. And, you know, here's a mom, everything a week and a half ago seemed to be fine. Lands in the hospital, and then her lungs filled up with fluid. And I just pray that Melanie recuperates, gets healed up real quick. And what a joy to bring a new baby into the world. Got a couple grandkids, 6 and 5. I'm not sure when the next one will come along. It probably could be a number of years. So just the joy that a baby brings, and the miracle that each one of them are. And you know, in the, again, we keep talking about this crazy world of ours where you know people just want to squash these lives, jot them out, get rid of them. And the work that our pro-life folks do. I know got our invitation for the pro-life dinner coming up the end of November. Our house ministries always gets a table. We'll be there again this year. I'd also just ask you to continue to keep Mark Houck and his wife Ryan Marie and their whole family, the extended McCarthy family, in your prayers. And, you know, it's a battle. The battle's been waged. We took it to them for a number of years on the pro-life side with our annual pro-life march. And they and Satan and a number of institutions aren't too happy about where things ended up. And as one president said, elections have consequences, and they certainly have, and on both sides. And so it's time to gird our loins and get in the battle. And it doesn't mean we, you know, run to the gun cabinet and pick up our guns, the greatest weapon that we have, and the one that they fear the most. They even come out and thought, you know, admit it, that those of us that pray the rosary are extremists. Can you imagine that, sitting there with beads and a cross in your hand, and you're an extremist for praying the rosary? But like I said earlier, if you're praying one rosary a day, make it two. We need to you know, get ready for what's coming. That pipeline getting blown up yesterday by whoever did it, and I have no way of knowing who did it, and don't even want to guess who did it. But you know, the poor folks in Germany that were dependent on that gas to heat their homes this winter, they're going to be cold. And you know, the way things are unfolding, and even in a quick conversation we had before the show today, you know, things were happening over the last couple of decades, but it was pretty slow. It's coming in rapid succession now, one thing after another. And you know, it's not just the well-known, wealthy, high-profile politicians that they're going after. It's right down to the, you know, the common person, the family men, and what have you. So none of us may be safe, depending on how much you're willing to, you know, put your voice out and stand up for, you know, what's real and true and holy. I was had a good fortune last weekend, not this past weekend, the weekend before, to go up to Falmouth, Massachusetts, up there on Cape Cod for a wedding, and it just happened to be the day after. We arrived the day after some immigrants were flown up from Florida to Martha's Vineyard, and then promptly bussed off Martha's Vineyard over to the Joint Base Command. It was about 5 miles north of where we were staying. And, I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. If you had said, you know, 5 years ago that this is where we would be today, nobody would believe it. And I still can't wrap my head around how we've gotten here, right? That so many things have come together that needed to come together in order to allow these things to happen. And here we are. And no telling when it's going to end. And we know who's going to win in the end. And Satan is not happy about where things were headed the last couple of years. And he's given his last stand, I guess, his final, trying to issue his final blows before God does away with him permanently. But in the meantime, we're up against it. And, you know, we're talking about with St. Vincent de Paul and the poor. You know, we're going to have to rally around everybody, family members, friends, anybody and everybody that is going to seek help. We've had guests in the past, whether it's Daniel O'Connor or Christine Watkins and others, talking about the illumination of conscience or the warning. You know, people believe it's coming sooner rather than later. Those of us that believe, make regular attendance at Mass, go to confession, we've got nothing to worry about. I know that if and when it happens for me, that there's going to be a bunch of stuff in there that I'll get to see that I either was unconscious at the time or out of my mind, and that there's a price to be paid for all that. But our God's a loving God, a merciful God, and He only wants what's right and good for us. And to be able to experience that and to seek forgiveness now rather than at the hour of my death or after my death is a blessing. So those of us that believe, we've got nothing to fear. And I know a whole lot of people that are praying day in and day out for that to come sooner rather than later, because once it does, the world's going to be a beautiful place. There's probably a number of people that aren't going to survive it and won't be around to ruin it for the rest of us. But those that are still around, it's going to be heaven on earth. And that's what Jesus Christ promised us, and that's what we'll talk about in the 5 o'clock hour. You know, in that Lord's Prayer where we say, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was a prophecy. I didn't know that for 60 years. And, it, you know, finally hit me between the eyes last year and realized with the help of some others that, you know, there is going to be this reign of Christ on earth, and it is going to happen here before the end of the world. And time to get ready. You know, it's going to be a beautiful thing if and when it comes. Many think it's going to come in our lifetime now. I can't imagine God letting things continue to go the way they are for much longer. And whether it's, you know, Putin deciding he's going to use nukes or some other unfathomable thing that might happen in order to bring it about, who knows. But, again, we've got absolutely nothing to worry about. God's got our back. He promised it to us. Every day when we go to Mass and hear those words that, you know, he came and died for us and wants only what's best for us to be happy, joyous, and free. And that doesn't mean that we'll never suffer, but whatever suffering we encounter is going to lead to, you know, an everlasting joy that no human being can ever give us. And so many of us run around looking for humans to make us happy and provide what we need and or what we think we need. God's the only one that can do that. And when enough people realize that, that's when things will change. And brothers and sisters, it's coming. It's absolutely coming. Strap yourselves in. Get ready. I don't think it's all that far off. So, again, the phone number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Just want to give another saint that we're going to celebrate. It's coming up on Saturday, I believe it's Saturday the 1st. Saturday the 1st, St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And I'm not an expert on Carmelite spirituality like Father McKay is, and it's especially when it comes to Teresa Avila and John of the Cross, but in particular, in this case, the Little Flower, St. Teresa Lisieux. But she was played an instrumental part in the life of Matt Talbot. Matt Talbot would talk about his girlfriends in Teresa of Avila, Teresa Lisieux, and Catherine of Siena. And so he would read many of their works. And rumor has it, when we were over in Ireland, Father McKay and I, one of the churches we went to had a statue there of St. Teresa Lisieux. And supposedly Matt Talbot was the first one to contribute towards that statue. And I was trying to figure out exactly how that would have happened, because Matt Talbot, he would die on June the 7th in the year 1925. And the Little Flower was beatified in April of 1923 and then canonized on May 17th, 1925. So it's exactly 3 weeks between the time that the Little Flower is canonized and Matt Talbot died. So I would assume that the church was in the process of getting the statue in preparation for canonization. And but pretty cool that Matt Talbot would have been the first to make that the donation for that statue. Little Flower was born on January 2nd in the year 1873, and she would die on September the 30th, 1897. So not real hard to do the math. She was only 24 years old. Went into the convent at the age of 15, and was really a quiet soul. You know, I think sometimes we think that going into monasteries and living this cloistered life that, you know, there's not a lot of conflict, that these are all, you know, real holy people and what have you. And it may be true for some of them, but you know, Teresa Lisieux had her share of suffering, not just, you know, physical suffering, but suffering at the hands of superiors and what have you. But she always talked about the little way. Her book, The Story of a Soul, you know, talks about her spiritual life and how we can do the smallest of things and yet have the greatest impact. You know, do small things with great love. And all of us are able to do that. There's not a single one of us that's not able to do things with great love. It may be hard if you've never experienced love, if you don't know what love really feels like or have shared in true love. But, you know, the idea that we can do things and do them with love, whether it's for family members, friends, neighbors, somebody in your parish, there's always opportunities to do something. And I just want to finish it out with this for this segment that, you know, sometimes the hardest people to do that for are family members. I would get convicted all the time by my wife where, you know, being in recovery, I would do just about anything for anybody 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. They could call in the middle of the night and I'd hop out of bed and get dressed and go do what I got to do. And yet she would ask me to put the trash out or put the laundry away or bring a hamper down from upstairs or something like that, and I'd be hemming and hawing. And I know I'm not alone in that. That, you know, so often it's easy for us to help the stranger more so than to help our own family members. And I recommitted recently to keeping my eyes open and ears open to what's going on around me. And in the family situation, because I think we do, or I do, sometimes take it for granted, and it can make things difficult. But it just the beauty of it is that I have an opportunity to refocus. There was a time in my life where there was no refocusing. You know, I was on a one-way path to hell. And was more than happy to take anybody and everybody with me. And it's not like that today. I still have some of those same temptations, the same desires or what have you. I'm far, far, far from perfect. You just ask my wife, Susan. She'd be more than happy to tell you how imperfect I am. But I have a great life today because I'm just trying. And that's all we can do. You know, God sees the effort. He sees the perseverance. We people wondering why, you know, why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to go through that? And I think sometimes God just wants to see if we'll persevere, and that it's through that suffering that we become better people. We become better Christians. We become better husbands, wives, friends, neighbors. Because once we've suffered, we can recognize the suffering in other people. And when we recognize that other people suffer, we can actually try to comfort them in their suffering. And Lord knows there's ample opportunity for that today. Like I said, just go out to YouTube and pull up Kensington and heroin, or Kensington and drugs, and you'll see what's going on right here in our own backyard. And it's not pretty. And you know, we say it all the time. Every one of those people that's using drugs, that's seeking out prostitutes, that's, you know, whatever it is they're doing, they're looking for God. They're looking for ecstasy. That's what we're wired for. You know, we want to. But the problem is that we try to find it on our own instead of turning to the only person that can give us that true ecstasy, that true joy, that true happiness, and that's God. And He wants to give it to us, each and every one of us. I firmly believe that from the souls I see panhandling when I get off the Schuylkill Expressway at 34th Street to the panhandlers at 34th and Grace Ferry, to the homeless and drug addicts in Kensington, that they're all wired for God. That's the way He wired us. It's the way Adam was wired. And I spent quite a bit of time over the last couple of weeks, couple of months, thinking about, you know, how much time did Adam actually live in union with God? You know, we read scripture in the beginning of Genesis, and, you know, God creates the world in 6 days, and you know, along comes Adam. And I think, or I always thought, you know, that the fall happened like the next day, or the next, you know, as soon as He creates Eve, Adam probably wanders off to do something and comes back the next morning, and that's when the fall occurs. And it could have been, you know, a couple hundred years, a couple thousand years before the fall. And a time's going to come where we get to live that, they call it the prelapsarian life, that we'll be able to live that life of Adam before the fall. And whether that happens while we're here alive on earth or happens when we get to heaven, either one's fine by me. I'm looking forward to it. That's about it for Saints and Sinners today. I want to thank everybody for being with us. I believe Peter and Mother Gabriel are already on the line for the 5 o'clock hour. You know, like I said, the Catholic Church has given us 2,000 years of Catholic tradition. It's given us the Bible. It's given us the sacraments, the saints, and that's what we talk about each week here, those saints. And not because we want to imitate them necessarily, but as role models to look at what they did and figure out what God is calling us to do. He doesn't necessarily want us to imitate a particular saint. That was that saint's job. He wants us to discern what it is that we should be doing in our lives to bring about the kingdom of God here and now. And once we discern what it is, we pray for the courage to do it. And the sky's the limit. You know, when you put a smile on somebody's face that hasn't smiled in quite a while, when you help somebody out that didn't think they'd ever get any help, when you say good morning to somebody when they don't expect it, you know, whatever it is, the little things in life that we can do to perk people up and let them know in one way or another that God still exists is a great thing. So thanks for being here in the 4 o'clock hour. We'll be back after the break with Peter and Mother Gabriel. So don't go away. We'll be back.